conversation, and I just want to cry.
I'm leaving that in.
And we're back. Welcome to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, a non-Oscar Sprint Profile episode. Our Oscar Sprint Profile series, all 20-some-odd episodes of them, are in the back, in the rear view, no turning back. We are heads up, moving on forward, into the night we go.
Watch these movies now, watch them later, go back and get your fix in terms of your, you know, movie podcast talk. I mean, that chatter during your workday, whether you want to preview these movies or whether you want to just go back and review them with us, check them out. We got a review for every movie in the big seven categories.
Yeah, that's the purpose of our starting this podcast and getting into it. And as we do, when we're not doing retrospectives, we're looking forward to the upcoming Oscars. And the upcoming Oscars are on March 4th, which is, again, less than a month away. We want to be your home for all the info you need on those big seven categories. We're talking our best original screenplay, the four acting categories, best director, best picture.
Yes.
Those are the seven we're focusing on. And in that vein, the Oscar Sprint Profile.
And best sound mixing.
Of course, best sound mixing.
We're going to do a whole best sound mixing, 3 weeks on it.
Because nobody knows more about sound than two guys that need...
Just with the Guitar Center once.
Still break... the GarageBand variants every time they speak, even with professional equipment. No, we wanted to have these Oscar Sprint Profile episodes presented to you so you can go back to them at any point, refresh yourself about what the movie was about, the spoilers, the non-spoilers, and get you ready for these seven episodes, get you caring about Oscar Sunday and giving you an escape from reality because, man, reality does suck. And we say it every episode and it's never rung truer, it seems, every week.
Yeah, watching movies with us is the way to go here. We changed our Twitter handle.
We did do that. Mike, tell us about it.
I was getting confused about our Twitter handle. I was going cross-eyed.
To set up the scene.
It's a good setup, yes.
I ambushed Mike one day, and I had this idea for this podcast for us to start. And like I've said many times, I know Mike is a huge cinephile, and I know he'd be the perfect guy. And he hasn't disappointed. But I ambushed him with all our social media pages one day and said, hey, by the way, we have an Instagram, a Twitter, and a Facebook now. Here's the info on it. So every episode when I said we are MMO_pod on Twitter, it was news to Mike.
Yes.
And Mike now has the control, and it's news to me what our handle is.
So, yeah, MMO_whatever it was. something I couldn't remember, like re-logging in, going from my Twitter accounts. And so I figured, like, maybe we can change that. And I figured, why didn't he call it Mike, Mike, and Oscars? Because we were one character away from being able to call it Mike, Mike, and Oscar as our at Mike, Mike, and
Come
Oscar.
On, Twitter.
We can't do that. So we're at MM and Oscar, which is at the letter M, the words and Oscar. So
we are literally Mike, Mike, and Oscar.
Yes.
So we're everywhere now as Mike, Mike, and Oscar in one form or another.
Should be easier to remember. Hopefully, if you're listening to our pod every week and you're also watching these precursor award shows, we live tweet those. Any kind of big movie event that comes along,
yeah,
we got something
to
say.
Yeah, anything to do with Hollywood. I mean, Jessica Chastain hosted SNL. Sam Rockwell hosted SNL. We live tweeted those.
We're probably the best at Twitter right now of all the social media apparatuses.
You could have stopped that sentence after the word best. But no, yeah, we use Twitter probably most often. That's fair. And it leads to comical times where it seems like there's one account that's arguing with itself because Michael posts something and I'll post the opposite 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're in our early 30s, so we're not great at Instagram yet. I'm barely on there. Mike's doing things, but he gets criticized by our younger family members.
Yeah. Jerks. No, but it's true. So we are at MM. And Oscar? That's us?
MM and Oscar.
All right.
Yes.
So we are MM and Oscar on Twitter now. That's our new Twitter handle. It's where you can find us and all our links and all our peripheral pages, such as the SoundCloud page, due to also Mike's hard work last night, now linked to that account as well.
Except the fact that if you listen to older pods, we're going to say MMNO, underscore whatever. I can't even remember it. Whatever that your old Twitter handle was, we're going to say it in all the older episodes. So we'll continue to remind you a little bit going forward. MM and Oscar.
So has this been a fun opening 4 minutes for you? Good, because it's going to get more fun. We're doing a different kind of episode today. We took care of the business and we took care of the Oscar Sprint Profiles. The Oscar Sprint Profiles for us, we wanted them to be single shot episodes, movie reviews for you to let you know if they're worth your time to see the movies overall. Now we're going to focus on the Oscar portion of these movies, which is why this podcast exists. We want to make the Oscars a year-round show for you. So a month out, we're going to start getting more and more serious with each passing episode about the Oscars. What we're doing from this point forward for the next seven episodes or so is we're going to take each one of those major categories we just talked about.
Yep.
yep. and give it its own preview episode. Now, what I mean by that is today we're starting off with the Best Supporting Actor category. We'll do the same format for each of the seven major categories. We'll take the five nominees the Academy has given us, except for Best Picture, of course, will be 10. And we're going to give you a reason why each nominee will win the Oscar on Sunday, March 4th, won't win the Oscar on Sunday, March 4th. And then at the end, we're going to go back to doing an old school perfecting perfection of said category. So for this category, we'll start with, say, Willem Dafoe in The Florida Project, as he's the first alphabetical nominee in the supporting actor category. We will tell you why Willem Dafoe will win. We will tell you why Willem Dafoe won't win. We'll move on to the next nominee until we've done all five, and then we will perfect perfection and give you the ranking of all five Oscar contenders. This ranking, the perfecting perfection, is going to be how we think those rankings should be. Now, yeah. we're not necessarily giving you our predictions of who we think should win. That'll be coming later on. But this is, with these nominees set as they are, based on the review work that we've done and will do in these episodes, how we think the top five should play out with these nominees being given to us by the
Academy. It's all about the tense of the verb, yes. Who will win? Who will win is something we're going to tell you in our Oscar predictions podcast episode, probably
looking
a solo
out for
episode.
The hardcore gambling problem listeners.
Yes, who we think should win.
Hello,
of
Adrian.
These nominees is what we're going to do here. And yeah, we're going to make the case for and against. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to give you legitimate reasons. And
we
then
hope.
We're going to give
yeah.
you Mike and Oscar nonsense reasons, because
and
we're
nobody
nonsense.
Does nonsense.
We're nonsense people.
Yeah. So again, we wanted to lay that out, give you a full picture of what's going on. Let's dive into it. Let's start the Best Supporting Actor category, the 2017-18 Oscar Best Supporting Actor Oscar category. Willem Dafoe is the first alphabetical nominee
for The Florida Project.
Yes.
So why will Willem Dafoe win? I'm going to start out with this zinger, because the Academy members know his face will haunt them if they don't vote his way. No, I mean, he's got a crazy-looking, scary face, for sure.
There's no argument there.
I've seen him. I haven't dropped this story yet. I've seen him at the No Country for Old Men New York Film Festival screening, and I sat like 10 seats away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice guy. I didn't go up to him and bug him or anything. I tried to be cool. I was like, yeah, I figured the rest of my life was going to go like this. Like, I'm going to just see.
Yeah, hobnob with the big
ones. I'm going to hobnob with him, mm-hmm. and there's somebody else. And now the magic of editing. I looked up his name, and his name was Terrence Stamp, which is really nice. He was a nice guy. I mean, nodded to me. Hello, how are you? You know, very British accent.
You should have asked to represent him right there.
But I'll tell you what. These guys have distinct faces. It's very different. You see Willem Dafoe's face blown up on a big screen, and
yes.
it looks like crazy.
Yes.
It looks kind of normal. And like he just
looks like a guy
in real life. He just looks like a guy in real life. It didn't look like that weird of a face.
It's funny, though, because with that weird face, it has brought us the gif, certainly, of the season, with Willem Dafoe kind of giving the eek face at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
And had his face not been so animated, that, of course, would not be as popular as it is, but his face is.
The haunt your dreams face.
Yes. We also had a close-up of his face as one of our Instagram posts this year, and imagine waking up and seeing that every day. Some lucky gal does.
So, Mike, you have a major reason, and I kind of have a bunch of nonsense reasons for all these. So what's your major reason, the one big one? Why?
Yeah, if Willem Dafoe takes this home, you're going to think that the headline is going to read something like, the one-time heavy favorite secures the Lifetime Achievement Award, in quotes. So, of course, Willem Dafoe, not the oldest nominee of this group. That distinction goes to another nominee that we'll talk about later. He is getting a little older. He's 62 years old. Dafoe is on the shortlist for most notable actors yet to win an Academy Award. With this being his third Oscars nom, he joins a shortlist of big names that have been nominated for at least that many awards, having never won one yet.
He's a big name.
He is large and in charge, yeah. I mean, he's a legitimate headliner at this point, certainly in his career.
He's also been the guy that take the character roles time and again, so he's been a team player throughout his career.
It's a point we made when we were talking about The Florida Project. He's always never been one to shy away from those difficult characters and literally played everyone from Satan himself to Jesus.
And yet, he earned a lot of respect not becoming typecast as that insane villain role all the time. You know, he plays a lot of anti-heroes. He plays a lot of just straight up heroes. He plays soldiers, he plays vampires, he plays
and now
all
he
kinds.
Might get it. He might take the award home for playing a motel manager down in Florida. The Academy, as we know, has a history of rewarding their favorites who have come up short time and again over other performers and performances who are relative newcomers to the scene. We have Scorsese winning for The Departed, which was a directorial job that even Roger Ebert was hesitant to say he would call Scorsese his favorite that year. If you go back and look on Roger Ebert's website, he didn't even give his pick for the Oscar that year for Best Director because he didn't want to upset the Scorsese faithful. Wow. We had another one was MMO heart attack legend Art Carney winning the Best Actor Oscar over three legendary performances in 1974, Michael Corleone, Dustin Hoffman and Lenny, and of course Jack in Chinatown.
So in the next category of this, we'll talk about why he won't win, but some other reasons. I mean, look, he's a low nominee in a movie that got snubbed across the rest of the board. Do you think there's like an Academy backlash where maybe they vote for this one because none of the others got recognition?
We said in a past podcast, is he going to be nominated for this role, or is he being nominated because it's a shitty source material and it's good to have a light shined on it?
It's definitely an issue movie in a way. You know, obviously we've done each one of these in an Oscar Sprint profile, so go back for the full review. This is kind of the post game ceremony.
Right. Yeah, we're doing our best not to beat pre-game. You over the head with stuff we've said.
We've already said. In terms of the breakdown of the category, the Three Billboards enthusiasts, they may split the vote between Sam and Woody.
Possible cannibalization, absolutely.
Christopher Plummer has a strong case to be made. Richard Jenkins, most likable going. We could have a situation where a lot of these votes are torn. And yes, Defoe could back his way in. We'll see. I don't know if it's going
to
happen.
There are other instances that are more famous, but the one that comes to my head, because it's an episode we didn't but haven't released yet, 1950's Best Actress went to a winner that probably had no business winning it because there were such strong performances elsewhere that
Betty
year.
Betty Davis and Eve Harrington, whoever that was her character's name.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, they split the vote. So maybe that happens here. Listen, I just want to add one more thing. I think the thing with Defoe's performance that sticks out to me the most is that we were so hyped up for it because everybody was touting it as like the number one contender before the precursors.
It was the big one.
When you actually see the movie, it's not as great as we hoped and kind of becomes overrated.
Yeah, you don't want to call it a letdown, but it's short of expectations for a Willem Dafoe Oscar movie.
So here's my mental gymnastics. It has become so overrated that now it's become underrated, and the backlash to the backlash to the backlash against Three Billboards is now going to somehow make me cross-eyed. No,
so you're going with the Inception
argument.
He's
not going to win. So Willem Dafoe, why won't he win, Mike? Because his face scares people.
Well, yeah, it should, and it has the ability to.
It wasn't that scary in person, I'll say it again. But
look, he has all this pent-up anger, and he's dealing with rough source material, and he's dealing with all these hardships going around this seedy motel. He's dealing with real-life drama, outrage, terrible parents, government.
He's got a great scene with Bria Venita.
But that's it! You want more from Willem Dafoe's performance, and he's so reserved. He has to play stoic the entire movie, and that will cost him on Academy night.
Do you think enough of the Academy saw the damn movie?
That's a whole different ballgame, because if we want to start delving into how great it is for the Academy to widen out and then hold their feet to the fire about, well, did you actually see these things? Mark Wahlberg, did you watch all these movies? You watch all these movies, Mark? It's an interesting question. I would absolutely say no.
I wish they geared the script more towards Defoe and Caleb Landry Jones a bit, because these are, you know, terrific actors, you know, operating at the top of their game right now.
Yep.
They did get a lot out of those non-actor performances by Brooklyn Prince, by Bria Venita. I love saying her name.
Sure do.
And I think they could have avoided a few of the more awkward moments in that movie if they had the polished actors kind of involved more, or just cast more regular actors in some of the rest of it and kind of control and temper those other performances. But those other performances were good. Obviously, Willem Dafoe points in his favor for working with them and being a giving actor throughout that process. However, it takes the points off the movie.
It's bugging the shit out of me. You keep calling him William. I know you're doing it on purpose.
It is his real name.
Yeah, whatever.
Said from the, no, you're right. It's Willem.
We'll move on to the second nominee in this category. Woody Harrelson playing Chief Willoughby in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Mike, why is Woody Harrelson going to see Oscar gold on March 4th?
Couple of reasons. He's never won an Oscar before, and it'll be a lifetime achievement/validation, like we just said, for Defoe. How about because he's really great in this movie? You know, he is really emoting when he needs to emote. He's in one of my favorite scenes of the movie, if not the year, with Frances McDormand and Sam Rockwell.
And Entertainment Weekly both love that. You said it first. Entertainment Weekly just came out with an article today analyzing Best Lead Actress, and they've highlighted that scene as well.
I also think he was so good in True Detective Season 1 that he should probably win for this just because he didn't win anything for True Detective
Season 1. So your
first
argument for Defoe was the Inception argument, right? The backlash to the backlash of the backlash, and right. Now you're going with the...
I'm mentally flexible.
Yeah, my memento gymnastics argument? Or are you working backwards through his career?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's fine.
I didn't do mock trial throughout college. I'm not very as good at this as you. But okay, Mike, why would this guy who's not going to win have a chance
my
to win?
My reason goes hand in hand with what you said about him being really good. This is a movie about people responding to being pushed past their limits, as I've said before. And he's the character with arguably the most to lose, thus bringing forward the most emotion in the performance. It's inarguable that he makes you reflect most in this movie. He is the most human character amongst a bunch of characters that may not react very human-like in a lot of ways.
He's definitely a mentor character here in terms of
Without
the structure
question.
Of the script. And we have some characters that need mentoring throughout this story. And it's not, he just doesn't mentor a Sam Rockwell character who obviously works for him, but some other surprising characters as well throughout the story. There are some great scenes involving Woody in this movie. I wish there was more of them in it.
Listen, you're the one talking about backlash and backlash. Rockwell is indisputably the favorite right now, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very possible Woody wins the Why Are We Rewarding the Most Racist Character in a Film This Year with an Oscar crowd. And
right.
Maybe the backlash was there enough in January when voting closed that enough people want to support Woody Harrelson, give him the nod.
I think by all accounts, he's one of the weirder dudes in the acting community. And I just want him to give a speech in primetime. That's what I want.
And that's the Tommy Wiseau argument.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some vintage Woody almost crying. Another great scene in this movie. You know, when Woody Harrelson chokes back a cry without doing it, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, he's done it a lot throughout his career. So the obvious criticism has been, well, I mean, this is Woody in every role. But still, it's great stuff. Yeah, it's Woody in
Can't
every
argue
role.
With it.
Octavia Spencer brings the same things in a lot of roles. It's great stuff every time. What's wrong with that?
So play bad cop. Why is he going to lose Oscar Sunday?
Because he's always this good. We shouldn't reward anybody who's always this good. It's just a normal Woody performance. No, his character enables, we could say, a more racist character in the movie.
That's
so
putting it delicately, yes.
That is kind of something that could generate a backlash.
This backlash is real. It's legitimate. There are people, especially on social media, the wonderful place that it is all the time, there are people that do not like the idea of giving this movie all the awards it's gotten due simply to the fact that you have some pretty awful people.
One of the other nominees, I think, is just like the human equivalent of a giant teddy bear. So when you compare and contrast them to that, it's kind of hard to...
A racist enabler or a giant teddy bear.
the sentimental vote is not going to go his way. But I think that I finish with this. I mean, Hollywood knows he's a weird dude, and they don't want him giving a speech in primetime.
Every coin has two sides. That's what we say there.
So, Mike, why is Woody Harrelson going to lose here?
Chief Willoughby has the shortest screen time amongst any of these nominees, by far.
By far.
And Chief Willoughby isn't going to go down in history as Hannibal Lecter, right?
Right.
Hopkins Lecter was only on screen for 16 minutes in Silence of the Lambs, and he still got that supporting actor nod. Chief Willoughby, on screen, I didn't time it, but it's probably a little longer than that, I would think. Not much. He's not around for a lot of the movie.
Some great scenes. I mean, it's quality over quantity here. It's quality over quantity, but you're right.
All the winners that have come from being on screen for about 20 minutes or less, and I want to give a shout out to the good people at mentalfloss.com. They had an article on this. the winners of that group that have won Oscars for being on screen in 20 minutes or less have been memorable and powerful characters that stole the entire movie. We're talking Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, Anne Hathaway in 2012's Les Mis, argue what you want about her as a host, that was a good performance, and Beatrice Straight in 76's Network. So unless you want to tell me that Chief Willoughby can go toe-to-toe with a Hannibal Lecter or with Les Mis and Anne Hathaway belting out, you know, I wish my life was better. I'm pretty sure that was one of the songs word for word.
I think you got it.
Yeah, that's great. On tone
should've
and everything.
Been you. You should have
got Simon
part.
Cowell. Simon, your thoughts? I'm fired. All right.
He just puked his guts out and ran away.
Move on next.
We have Simon Cowell trapped in our basement. This is a string of terrible jokes.
He's an Oscars trash can. We'll move on to Richard Jenkins playing Giles. Guile was in Street Fighter.
Yes, he was.
Giles is in Shape of Water in Richard Jenkins' place. Imagine if Richard Jenkins played Guile in Street Fighter, though.
He would be the worst character. looks like Saget, but without the muscle. Listen, Richard Jenkins, it's some of his best work, as he says, his character throughout the film. What do you think, Mike? Why is Richard Jenkins going to win this thing?
Well, he's not the most relatable character, but I think he plays the character that we most like to think we relate to in our best, because like you said, he's a giant teddy bear.
He might be the best roommate / most likable best friend in the history of movies here.
And maybe that gives him the tip, maybe the tip of the cap. Maybe the Academy is looking at all this backlash, looking at all these characters with their warts and their just downright evilness, and maybe in the year of social justice, maybe in the year of all these big movements, maybe we just want to reward the actual nice guy.
He's adorable.
Maybe we want to give it to the adorable teddy bear, and that's why Richard Jenkins will win the Best Supporting Acting Oscar.
Perhaps. He has some great scenes. Nobody sighs and almost cries like this man. You know, Woody.
Or cracks jokes.
Yeah. Woody just gulps and almost cries, but this guy sighs, mid-sigh, almost cries, and then composes himself once again. He's got skills, let's just say that. He's done it in Burn After Reading, which was perhaps my other favorite Richard Jenkins performance. But I would tell you, I mean, look, he is also, like you said, the comic relief. But beyond that, he is the guy who always watches old classic Hollywood movies on his television all the time.
He's the Hollywood character about Hollywood characters.
He is the empathetic to the max sympathy devoted to the starving artist who can't get work kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. No arguments, you know, the
gay roommate best friend. He's a great roommate.
He stands for something. He gets offended when the pie shop owner turns out to be a horrible racist. He comes to his senses and wants to help his mute neighbor, not roommate.
Yep.
They seem like roommates at times.
He's all around nice guy. I don't know if he's got flaws, so I don't know how well-rounded his character is. He's got limitations as a character.
He is a badass with a heart of gold.
He has a heart of gold. And his character gets a full arc, and he touches our merpeople loving hearts. I think he's got a chance.
Couldn't be more right. Now let me tell you why he has no fucking chance in hell.
Yes.
Does he even finish as a top three most interesting supporting character in this movie?
He feels like a top five guy always, right? But is he ever a top one, a top two in anything? I mean, he's just like the perfect supporting character in every role he's ever played. He's a character actor.
Michael Shannon, inarguably better than him in this movie. Yeah. Doug Jones, arguably
Octavia
better than
Spencer's
him.
Octavia Spencer.
Arguably better than him.
He's going to be the fourth best
supporting person, and we're going to give him the Oscar trophy?
We've said this throughout the Oscar Sprint Profile series, kind of a weaker category this year.
I think that's fair. We've said it on repeat about this category
just
specifically.
Overall, so it's teed up for somebody to really, you know, surprise
us. Stuhlbarg, good Lord. I didn't even mention Stuhlbarg. I have him listed.
Yes.
Is he fifth on this list? Does he make top five in his own movie?
You might be right, my friend. Listen, that toupee is a point in his favor, though, because he acknowledges that it's a toupee.
Wow.
So you thought I was going to go one way. You thought I was going to. But listen, is he even a top two in all-time best friends to merpeople? John Candy, Sebastian the Singing Crab, and him.
Ooh.
He's not going to crack top three.
Now we're taking Sebastian over Flounder.
Colin
and
Farrell
Eric?
And Ondine. Have you seen that Neil Jordan obscure movie?
No,
he might be three.
What that reference is.
He might be three. And then
Wow.
Richard Jenkins is number four, and even Octavia Spencer might be number four.
So
and
you're
going to
play the race card for merpeople here. Interesting take. I
he's
like it.
He's not even a top five.
He's not
best friend
good
to
enough
merpeople.
To be a best friend to merpeople for this
So I can't win.
That excludes him. You're right. Absolutely. He's out.
Oh, plus he's an old white guy. Old white guys can't win anything.
Have you looked at this category? Move on to Christopher Plummer. Speaking of old white guys not being able to win anything, why is Christopher Plummer going to win?
Because Mike Francesa said so. I was waiting for that. It's a joke for me and Mike and me and Mike only. And
thanks for listening. Say it with me now. Thank you for saving our blockbuster $50 million ass, Mr. Plummer.
They didn't lose all the money in the world. They only lost some of the money in the world.
Everybody in Hollywood should send this guy an edible arrangement. He might have saved. Imagine the fallout if a director with the name
things,
of Ridley Scott. Oh, I love those things. I don't. How do they always? The cantaloupe in those things is always so ripe.
Just enough with the melon.
Get
up with the green stuff though. The green cantaloupe. What do they call that?
Honeydew.
Melon? Honey.
Yeah, but
honey.
it's still so ripe. They don't get it.
It's
like,
all right.
It's juicy. It's I'm on.
They know where to get
this.
Yeah, they know where to get the cantaloupe. It's good.
Yeah.
And you ever do the chocolate covered strawberry at a
little arrangement? You ever had a chocolate covered banana from them?
Hot damn. Hot damn. What are you doing to me over here, buddy?
When is dinner? We're recording this at night. Thank you for taking that side trip with us. But yes.
I just broke out in a cold sweat.
Yes, Christopher Plummer. He did save this movie. Imagine the big names you have attached to this. This is a Mark Wahlberg project, the Michelle Williams project. Take away the drama about the pay scale difference between those two. Ridley Scott directing at the helm. And it could have just gone dead. It could have gone nowhere.
He's the happy part of this story. He's the happy part of the story. He's the part where we all just go, oh, thank God for Christopher Plummer.
And you know what? Throughout Oscar history, I want you to point out the nice guy character, the Richard Jenkins type character that has ever beaten out the dastardly douchebag in a supporting Oscars race. We have Heath Ledger's Joker beating Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder in 2009. Javier Bardem's Antoine Chigurh over Philip Seymour Hoffman in Charlie Wilson's War in 2008. Even serious villain baddie over laughable baddie, as we had with Joe Pesci in Goodfellas beating out Al Pacino's big villain character in Dick Tracy. The bad guys always win.
It's an interesting point. I think if Leonardo DiCaprio was back in that category and won retrospective we've done on Best Supporting Actor so far, he would have won. He should have been in that category. So here's my question. Like, based on normal years, the antagonist could go in the Best Supporting Actor category, maybe, but how is he not the lead in this movie? How is he not the lead actor? He's the lead actor in the marketing campaigns, or no? I mean, it's Mark Wahlberg because Mark Wahlberg got paid the most.
I think the lead actor is the lack of Kevin Spacey in this movie. That's kind of
just
something we danced around and touched
Spacey.
On. Yeah.
So the ghost of Kevin Spacey was up for those nominations.
He could have gotten the best actor
Some
nominee.
People voted for him.
They hand the trophy to air and just let it hit the ground, and that's Kevin Spacey's ghost
That's
winning.
The worst joke we've ever done in this podcast.
So why is Christopher Plummer going to take home the gold?
He's going to take it because it's the best acting ever without dentures in that one scene. I won't say which. It's because it's the evil businessman we always see in our dreams.
The Gordon Gekko of the Getty World.
He's dastardly. He might as well just be tiptoeing to the bank to
with
steal
a big,
all our money.
Giant bagged with a money sign on, a dollar sign on it.
Because Christopher Plummer, Michael, gave the greatest performance of all time. When you compare it to Mark Wahlberg, his co-star.
Ooh. Can't wait for that octagon fight.
I love... Well, I'll kick my
ass. Is
that
Bellator 2000?
I would not survive very long. These nominations might be more than half wrong. We don't know. So Christopher Plummer could... If Mike Francesa has anything to say about it, he's... Could win.
Yeah, it's a two-sided coin, right? Because we happen to think, like we said, this is not only a pretty weak class comparatively to everything else that's going on in the Oscars this year... But it's probably the class with the most nominations we disagree with. I know our top five lists are going to be radically different, so stay tuned for that when we give you the Mike, and Oscars. So, Mike, tell me now why Christopher Plummer will go home an old, broken, empty man.
Well, because Mike Francesa said so. He's a sportscaster. What the hell does he know? I mean, also because he's the oldest white man And oldest
literally
white man can't
the oldest
win.
Breaking the record for oldest nominated
listen
actor
it's a face saving gesture here. Just the nomination is enough, and it's more than this movie deserves, but listen, it's because of what it takes for him to feel secure, Mike. It's the worst.
And you said
quote.
I had the worst joke.
It's the worst quote in any of the four movies. He's not Michelle Williams, and who's the star of this movie. That's why he should not win. He's not going to win. Mike, why do you say he's not going to win?
There is a great American philosopher who at one point, in talking about this movie, described it as, and I quote, fine. This movie's fine.
I was quoting myself.
I'm an asshole. And by the way, the great bad guys that I just quoted.
I like how you emphasize the word hole.
The great bad guys I just cited. Christopher Plummer's J. Paul Getty is not the Joker. He's not Anton Chigurh.
No.
And he's not Tommy DeVito. He's a good bad guy. He's a capable bad guy.
He's fine.
But he's not those three right. legendary, oh my God, bad guys. And exactly, again, what are we nominating here? Are we nominating Christopher Plummer's performance? It's good. Or are we nominating the backstory that led to Christopher Plummer's performance?
Are we nominating the face-saving gesture?
Exactly.
Are we saving face? Are we salvaging it?
So take this for what it's worth.
We're patting ourselves on the back just a little bit, Hollywood.
Maybe.
For fixing this colossal fuck-up.
And that's why he will not win and go home without Oscar.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Oscar's right here next to us.
So, Mike, why will Sam Rockwell win this award, big guy?
Well, we're rewarding the best supporting actor of the year, right?
That we are.
So
he's probably
he's the best supporting actor of the year. I don't want to hear. Don't tell me about backlash. Don't tell me about race. Listen, Officer Dixon is not Sam Rockwell. The mere fact that people are offended about how racist Officer Dixon is in Three Billboards proves to you what a great thespian Sam Rockwell is and how he played the shit out of this role.
He's an antagonist in the movie. I mean, bad guys shouldn't be nice guys. I mean, even though they humanize him quite a bit, and Sam Rockwell humanizes the character quite a bit. So just the fact that, you know, we can relate to the character is tribute to the acting performance.
And as far as this backlash goes, I mean, we didn't hear any backlash that Plummer played J. Paul Getty too power hungry. Or that Woody Harrelson was
it's a bad guy.
Too laissez-faire.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
right?
bad
like,
guy.
Like, he should be celebrated. These characters should be celebrated. We keep saying time after time, what makes a great character is depth and warts. You want to see those warts? This man, Officer Dixon, in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, looks like he just licked the toad.
He's full of them.
Yeah,
that's a great analogy. Kumail Nanjiani said it during the promotional videos for his movie, The Big Sick. It's not important that you have positive portrayals of any kind of sect of people. It's that you have complex portrayals of that
and realistic.
Sect of people. Realistic. I mean, it's warts and all, like you said. That's the important thing. And Sam Rockwell makes us sympathetic to that character. It's a character that has an arc that can grow or not. You see the movie, but
and his arc is without question deeper than the other four nominees because he also is involved in every storyline that this movie has. The ABC storyline all at some point feature this quote-unquote supporting actor.
Right. So Critics' Choice voted in Sam Rockwell. The SAG voted for Sam Rockwell. The Golden Globe for Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
Don't forget
the
Palm Springs International Film Festival Spotlight Award voted Sam Rockwell. He all the precursors went to him.
Yeah, oh by the way, he's the favorite.
He's the favorite. So we've talked up those other four nominations. It's unlikely, guys. I mean, maybe we'll have egg on our face at the end of this thing. We don't know, but I mean, let's look at some nonsense reasons though. More importantly, some nonsense reasons. Hollywood has always said he was an underrated actor. I mean, he probably should have been nominated in movies like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind and Moon because Iron Man 2 Poltergeist, they didn't catapult Sam Rockwell to stardom like they probably should have. Because
you wanted Iron Man 2 to catapult Sam Rockwell to stardom?
His performances were pretty good.
Tell me one thing that happens in Spider-Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
That proves my point.
he clicks the button. He clicks the button that gets all the robot Iron Men to fight real Iron Man.
Very good. All right. Here's your Oscar.
He should have made him a star. Listen, his character might have the most screen time of the bunch here.
And that, again, wraps into him being involved in every storyline.
I kind of wonder why
he's not a
and
main.
If he's not a lead actor.
Yeah.
I mean, why is he not a lead actor based on the fact that he's the lead actor in this movie?
Because they don't want to have the worst character in movies this year be a lead for their
product. I mean, again, you know, we've done one retrospective that we've released, and he's has more screen time than Leonardo DiCaprio and Django Unchained. You know, again, we're going to do this throughout. And we're going to do this throughout, so I don't know why he's not a nomination in the lead category based on previous evidence.
You want me to tell you why he's not going to win?
I'm ready for this. Why is he not going to win?
We're really going to cap off the biggest social justice movement year, the year when we've probably grown most as a society in many relevant and important ways, by giving the reward to the actual racist character who learned nothing. Learned nothing. You want to talk about a character arc that gives you depth and gives you a perspective and grows, shows his warts? What arc or what perspective exactly are we praising this Officer Dixon for having? Okay?
Tell me.
He is objectively one of the top two worst people portrayed on screen this year.
But yeah, no, you're right.
And does not learn from his mistakes, nor grow as a person, I'd say.
If the Academy, who likes to throw surprises in there, we've seen the Mark Rylance effect happen before, and that was with a darling of a performance as the leader.
The beloved Rocky.
The beloved Sylvester Stallone was supposed to take it that year, won a bunch of the precursors. Even showed up to the awards, and the guy in the fedora took the took the thing home, the Mark Rylance effect. Now, Sam Rockwell does have some flaws in this performance. I mean, he stutters every time his character kind of talks about another certain character in the movie, which is a bit contrived. I think he plays a lousy drunk in the movie in the few scenes where he is drunk, because I think Sam Rockwell kind of always plays every character like he's drunk and high.
You're going back to the old, the same argument you had for Harrelson. You think he's kind of a one-note wonder a little bit, and it could, or at least could be seen as that.
No, I just think he kind of, he shoots his gun a lot in the sense of his performance. He goes for it, and sometimes it misses. So that's all I'm saying. I mean, so a lot of times it hits, and I think you might. We made a compelling argument for why he's going to win, but I think he has a chance that upon rewatches of this movie, he might not win because he misfires a few times.
Here's my biggest personal gripe about this, and I know a lot of these reasons for and against have been a little slanted because they have to be, but I strongly believe that characters should just be characters. I don't think you can penalize Sam Rockwell for being a racist character because that's what was written on this page.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the backdrop and the year and society of which these films were viewed,
the voters may not go for it.
I think that should matter. I think it should matter. The time, like All the President's Men on the heels of Watergate should matter. This movie on the heels of Time's Up and all these big racial movies should matter.
Whether or not it should, it does. It always does with the voting bodies. The Academy is known to be political. I mean,
so was the backlash enough in January is going to be the question.
There's been like a backlash to the backlash.
There has.
And then now there's a backlash to the backlash of the backlash. There's literally three waves of this sucker. I mean, again, it's happening again on Twitter where Three Billboards is under fire now.
Mm-hmm.
Once more, after we put it under fire for being under fire. Mm-hmm. I don't know where we are now, but Sam Rockwell has won all the precursors awards. Everybody would think he's going to win the big show, but it's just bizarre what's going on right now in the media, and the media and influences the Academy, who's still voting. So let's top five it.
It's going to be very interesting. So we're going to perfect perfection right now. These are the five nominees in no particular order. Defoe, Rockwell, Plummer, Harrelson, Jenkins. Those are your five
male nominees. We made the case for and against.
For Best Supporting Actor. What do you have for your number five on the ticket, Michael?
My number five is Willem Dafoe.
Wow. Okay.
I think it was a very strong performance. He's got a great scene. All those reasons we said, I think it's the fifth best of these nominees. You're on number five.
Defoe is not very high on mine either, but it is not my number five. My number five is Woody Harrelson. I think it's a very emotional moment. It's a very introspective moment for viewers of the movie. I don't know that the ultimate use that his character plays in the part of the plot is necessarily necessary.
That's a hell of a statement. You're wrong, but I don't know how you could say that. Listen to our Three Billboards pod. I have him at my number three, and I guess I'll go 4-3.
Yeah.
Christopher Plummer's my number four. Woody Harrelson's my number three. I thought, you know, pound for pound, I mean, it's a really strong performance. Like I said, I mean, he's in one of my favorite scenes, and he's one of the reasons for my favorite scenes, the part he plays in that opposite McDormand. I think his character's kind of unlocks, you know, the other parts of McDormand's performance, which is quite the job for his character in the plot, which is pretty big freaking job when you said it's not a big job for his character.
Agree to disagree. I don't mean his character
getting
plays
the protagonist to show the other side of her character.
Yeah, I don't mean just let me have that, all right? I didn't say it well, but I mean what I mean, and I'm not going to go forge through it. Give me your 5-3 again.
So Defoe, Plummer, and Harrelson are my 5-4-3.
I'm Harrelson 5. I'm Defoe 4 for many of the same reasons we just talked about. I'm Jenkins 3. You're the one that's always pushing these warts and depth of character, and he's so one note. He is the giant teddy bear like you just described to him. He
does play an important role with
Sally Hawkins. He is very into the main storyline of his movie. He plays a great role in the crescendo of the movie.
I'm looking at my stomach now like I just got shot with a bullet hole. Oh my God, I'm shot. I think he got me there because, well, I mean, listen, Jenkins doesn't have flaws as a character.
No, none. I can't pick out any.
Other than he talks too much, he does go against the protagonist at one point in the movie. I won't tell you how or when or why. Listen to our Dancing with Mermen pod. It's your best title so far.
Thank you. I'm proud of that one.
And that is a flaw, I guess. I mean, it's not plot armor. I would say
it's inflated sense. He does have a little arrogance when it comes to his professional life. I don't know.
Maybe.
Hey, 2-1 note for me. 2-1 note.
You're right. Well, he's got a big scene. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have any of these performances in my top five and the Mike and Oscars.
I'll tell you that. So you have Jenkins and Rockwell left.
So yeah, recap. What's your 5-3, Mike, and then give me your number 2.
Number 5 for me is Woody Harrelson. Number 4 for me is Willem Dafoe. 3 is Richard Jenkins. My number 2 is going to be Christopher Plummer for the work he did. I know I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world because I was shooting my mouth off about how it's such a joke that Hollywood is nominating him. It's a strong performance. I think it's worthy of being nominated. I don't think it's worthy of winning in any year, but I think I could see it nominated in any year, which means, of course, my number 1 is Sam Rockwell for 3 Billboards. What about your 2-1?
My 2 is Richard Jenkins. My 1 is Sam Rockwell. I had Plummer all the way down at 4 because I liked Woody Harrelson's the quality, and it was really quality in every scene of that movie. The problem with my Plummer...
Leaky pipes.
It's terrible.
I'm a bad man.
Yeah, I mean, just the name in terms. All right, if you want to go down the pun route and the name recognition,
please.
Yeah, a couple elections ago may have, you know, caused me to be biased against Christopher Plummer in this performance. Maybe I just don't like old white men anymore, like the rest of the country. We're all scared of them now.
None of these people win.
He may not be able to win, but I think that performance has flaws. I mean, he put it together in 10 days, kind of rushed it. There's some bad scenes with Christopher Plummer in that movie that we talked about. I can't necessarily leapfrog him over pound for pound a great performance from Woody Harrelson and some big moments by Richard Jenkins. Big moments.
Going to be interesting. And we gripe about this a lot. I really do wish the Academy would release the voting so you could see these top five and how they shook out. I don't think that may ever happen in our lifetimes. But
Sam Rockwell's just got the emotion in the big scene.
He's the favorite for a reason.
Early on in the movie, his character goes full arc.
But the more time we've had to digest these characters and these performances, it's becoming, again, a case like last year where Viola Davis wasn't necessarily a supporting actress.
Right.
But they put her in that category.
That's a great point because he's got interactions with a lot of characters in this movie.
Pretty much everyone, yeah.
Like, it's almost a two-hander.
I mean, he's responsible for one whole storyline himself involving a neighbor. of the
how is he not a lead actor?
Yeah,
how is he not a lead actor? But if he's going to be in the category, he's probably going
again,
to win.
Again, we don't pick the categories. We're just giving you the rankings of what we think they should be based on what we saw, and that's what we did here for our first category deep dive. And tell us your thoughts. I mean, those are our 5 through 1s. We took different routes to get there. My 2 and 1 were Christopher Plummer and Sam Rockwell. Also, Mike's 2 and 1 were Richard Jenkins. Sticking with Richard Jenkins at 2?
At 2.
All right. Sticking with Richard Jenkins at 2. And Rockwell being the overall number 1 for both of us. He's the leader. He's the favorite in the clubhouse. Is he yours? Do you agree with anything that was said in this episode? Because we have said a lot in a little time. And that's kind of the point of these. We wanted to give these shorter episodes for you guys to digest. Let us know your thoughts. Who's your favorite right now of these 5? Where do you think the best supporting actor odds are laying? What do you like or dislike about these performances? Let us know. Reach out to us. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, and Oscar on Instagram.
MM and Oscar on Twitter.
Look at that. MM and Oscar. Brand spanking new Twitter handle. Mike, and Oscar on Reddit and MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com. Reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think about any of these performances and any of the categories coming up. And stay tuned, because next up for us is going to be the leading ladies of our hearts, minds, and movies, the Best Actress Award category deep dive for 2017-18 is on the horizon for us.
That was our epic rant, epic outro. This is as good as an outro in terms of your momentum. I didn't want to say anything because it was just, you were just churning along. I mean, it was just like in the flow.
We did a lot of LSD before we went on the air.
Why couldn't you do that the rest of the pod? But listen, if you're just discovering us now, you know, go back and all our Oscar Schmidt profiles, they hit each movie. They do a deep dive into that movie. Non-spoilers, spoilers. It's easy to maneuver. It's easy to avoid the spoilers. I think we avoided them today. We did a good job. But we missed out on the spoiler music. So if you haven't heard us yet, we got an awesome,
that's a good point,
spoiler transition.
Want to shake that booty for 45 seconds. Mike, and Oscar got the hookup. I put together
great spoiler. You outdid music. Yourself.
It's just a mess.
None of the other stuff in your life is really put together, but that spoiler intro.
Fair point. Fair shot across the
Neither mouth. Of our lives are put together.
Reality sucks, guys. Keep on watching movies with us. Get you ready for Oscar Sunday, and check you out next time.
See ya.